Our gospel for this Sunday comes to us from the 13th chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, we're in this, season of all of these different teachings and all these different things that have happened, the parable of the sower and all these other things. Jesus is doing a lot of teaching in parables. And so as he's gathered all the people around, he tells them a bunch more. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed it with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you all understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. The joy of traveling, you get these different things that happen. We had to arrange all of a sudden at the last minute a ride. And so, of course, we called for, as things happen nowadays, a Lyft. And you get to meet some of these drivers. As one of my friends said, his Lyft driver was Jesus. So he was always, he always appreciated the fact that, he got the little text message saying, Jesus is coming for you. He thought that was kind of cute. Ours was Russian. His name was Pickup on Drop Off. One of my colleagues was desperately in need of a vacation, almost as much as I was. And they decided to go with one of these magical kind of, experiential travel agencies. You just kind of give them some things, and then they kind of surprise for you. And so what he did was he said, I just want to be happy. He is now spending 3 weeks in a house with 6 dwarves and works in a mine. And if you don't get that, you don't understand the classic Disney. Now, last year for a sabbatical, I got to go to Scotland. I did not do that again. But, one of the things about going to Scotland is I got this inspiration to open up a Scotch distillery here in Tucson. But I understand it's a whiskey business. Actually, a true story, that's not, but a true story is when Jenny and I lived in central Illinois, we took a vacation when Zach was very little. Her mom came down and gave us a week respite, and we went and found this little cabin kind of B&B kind of stuff in far southern Illinois, which is turning more and more into a vineyard, kind of like southern Arizona. And they had this wine trail and all that kind of stuff. And after a week of, just relaxing and being able to spend it, I sent an email to my bishop at the time saying, there's not a lot of Lutherans down here. I think we need a vineyard retreat center for Lutherans. We can minister to people on the wine trail. We can make communion wine people want to drink. We can put in a labyrinth, and if you can't walk the labyrinth, you don't get your keys back. Come on. And he sent me 2 statements back. I'm worried about how much free time you must have. And I'm wondering how Lutheran you are. Years later, he came up to me and he said, Dave, that wasn't a dumb idea. What was I thinking? I said, you weren't. The kingdom of heaven is like. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like. And notice he doesn't keep saying the same thing other than the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus, before Pilate in the Gospel of John, talks about truth. Pilate goes to Jesus, "What is truth?" And everyone knows the answer to that, what Jesus said, right? These are parables. They're meant to invite us in and consider. They are meant to cause us to think. Think beyond. And when we think of the kingdom of heaven, we really need to think beyond in many ways. Beyond our limits of understanding. So Jesus comes to us and goes, "It is like." Notice he doesn't say, "It is." It is like. And he uses all kinds of imagery. Just this one, I mean, you know, it's like rapid fire. And actually, I've flipped back and forth among some of these pages so long. This is one of them that actually has tape holding it together, other than the whole Bible, which has got this thing holding it all together. But he goes, you know, it's like a mustard seed that a farmer plants. Farmers in the Middle East did not plant mustard seeds. That's like going and saying, "Hey, farmer, would you like some ragweed in your field?" You didn't plant mustard seeds. A woman who took and mixed in with it 3 measures of flour with yeast. Okay, that at least makes sense. That's what you do. Unless, of course, it's Passover and you need the unleavened bread. It's like a treasure hidden in the field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. What field was he hiding this big treasure in the first place if he has to go and sell everything to go and buy that field? You wouldn't have thought that he at least would have picked his own. Obviously, he didn't. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, and on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Do you think he was going to sell that great pearl ever? No. But he sold all that he had in order to possess that one thing. I don't know about you, but the kingdom of heaven is like a lot of things that don't make sense. There's some things on the surface. Okay, I get the yeast and the bread. Okay, that's what you do. You don't bankrupt yourself buying something that will be the only thing you have. You don't find a great treasure and hide it in someone else's field. You don't plant weeds. They tend to just show up. So, if we just think to that level, we could just kind of close the door and close the book and very comfortably tell us, well, God's wisdom is greater than our wisdom, and leave it at that and knock the dust off of our feet and move further down the trail and not give it a second thought and in many ways give up on the concept of what it means to live into the kingdom of God. Because first and foremost, are we realizing the fact that in each and every time Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, he uses the present tense? The kingdom of heaven is like. Not the kingdom of heaven will be like. Jesus sends out his disciples and goes and sends them out without carrying lots of possessions with them, with two messages. Remember this from the beginning of the summer, for those of you who've been paying attention? Two messages: the kingdom is near, and peace be with you. The kingdom is still very near. It is. It is not something that is eventually or will be. The prayer Jesus teaches his disciples and we say in various forms within the church 2,000 years later, we pray for your kingdom to come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for that kingdom to come. How about we start thinking that the fact that the kingdom is here, and then what do we do with the fact that it is here already? Then maybe we'll look beyond the mustard as a weed, and we'll see that he describes it as this bush that supports life. Do you realize that most of the veggies that you eat in your salads today are actually the great-great-grandchildren of these mustard plants he's talking about? The broccoli, the cauliflower, the kale, the cabbage, all of those. Their ancestor is this mustard seed. Just bred and genetically manipulated over hundreds and thousands of years for that to happen. But that mustard even then would still support life, even if it was just the shade or the seeds it provided that birds and other animals would eat. One of the great things about bread is that bread, when you put, you know, you put yeast into it, you go from this to this. You go from only this to something a heck of a lot more. It's amazing what a loaf of bread can do. And what do we cherish and what do we hold to? Jesus would challenge his disciples to, and that rich young ruler, sell your possessions and give the money to the poor and then follow him. Is Jesus that pearl beyond measure, that great treasure? It invites us to think about what is the most important things in our lives. How often the more we have, the more protective we get. And the more the less likely we are to try to move. Because as someone who has moved far too many times in his life, when you got a house full of stuff, that's a pain in the neck. And many other portions of the anatomy after boxing and unboxing. But oftentimes we get most hung up on the last one he uses. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Isn't it interesting that that's the only one that has an explanation to it? All the other ones are just, is like, move on to the next one. Is like, move on to the next one. This one has an explanation to it. I wonder if he was referring to Arizona in the summer. I also find it fascinating that the good ones get thrown in the baskets and the bad ones get thrown back into the water. Who's getting off easy? Where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he goes, did you understand all this? And like every student to every teacher since the dawn of time, did you get this? Of course we did. You can almost see Jesus say, good. Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. So do we all understand what we're supposed to be about? Maybe it's the way to look forward is that we need to spend some time sifting through what we have, what is new and what is old, and realize, is it what gives life? Is it yeast that will leaven bread? Is it something that will be a seed that will become something more? Just how cherished is it? And where is God in any of it? Because the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a lot of things. It's like a lot of people trying to figure out how to live in grace. It is like a lot of people who have dreams and hopes and aspirations. They have a dream that one day people will be judged on the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. And so many others like that. Is people trying to figure out how to love one another when we don't necessarily understand one another. When we might initially look at the other and go, that's a weed and it needs to be pulled. Or I don't treasure what you do. Or any other countless ways in which we do not necessarily reflect wisdom. We reflect fear of what will be instead of going, the kingdom of heaven is, and it is near. And because of that, peace be with you. More importantly, peace be with you as we share it. But we're part of this kingdom. We're actually a part of it already. Through the power of baptism, we've already been included in it. We are strangers in a strange land. We are included and wrapped up into this kingdom, this kingdom, this family of God. And we're called to be ambassadors, to let our light so shine before others they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We are called to be yeast and bring leaven. We're called to be salt and light. We're called to be all of these other things that might go, it doesn't necessarily make sense until you're the person who is trying to bring hope or peace or support or uplift or simple care and compassion. And you realize that the time that you cherished and you thought you cherished doing something else, you now cherish in the presence of that other person, that thing that you hold on to most dearly, and you realize that it is better for someone else to have or to use, becomes a blessing that pays off a thousandfold for them. For all of the other ways in which the kingdom of heaven is made known in and through you, thanks be to God for being an ambassador, a sign. And so before I close this day, I wish to remind you yet again that you are, and that is, you know, that in this case, being a citizen of the kingdom of God has its perks. because of all that God blesses you with first, like the kingdom being here. I invite you to remind yourself of the promises God gave you in baptism. If you repeat after me. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. I am Christ's. In a couple weeks, there's going to be an 81-year-old baptized. And some might go, how did he know these promises? Because the kingdom is near. For him, that day, the kingdom will be here. And for all of us, may we continue to show it through the grace we receive from God. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.